That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay, before we dive into today's show, I got a programming note for you. Our full coverage of Joe Biden's State of the Union and Katie Britt's response is featured on last week's Friday After Party podcast on our Patreon page. However, if you sign up for at least $1 a month, you can listen to Friday's episode. Normally, you'd have to subscribe to the After Party level for $10 a month, but we're gifting Friday's show to all of our subscribers. So don't miss it. Just go to patreon.com/BobZeskaShow and sign up for any paid level of support. Then download the app, sign in, and you're all set. Again, that's patreon.com/BobZeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, Bob.
Oh, hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hello.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 12, 2024, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hello there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,148 of the Biden-Harris administration, 238 days until the 24th presidential election. You can find me on Threads and Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. Twitter, BobSeska_go. Spoutable, Bob Seska. Blue Sky, Bob Seska. And our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. Did you get enough of my name in there? All right, here we go. Buzz Burbank with the news.
Yeah. You say Buzz Burbank.
Over easy.
You've said it all.
Here he comes.
Over easy. Katie Britt's making me some eggs. She never comes out of that kitchen. Hi, everybody. Well, as he's made perfectly clear, he's Bob. I'm Buzz, and we're not afraid of Scary Mom.
No. Scary Mom from the Target parking lot, yeah.
We loved Biden's State of the Union speech, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Bob and I were so moved by the president's speech that afterward, we cried like the Kelsey brothers.
We did. Called each other crying. It was amazing.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Trump clearly didn't understand Biden's speech.
Yeah.
Late in the speech, Trump posted, "They couldn't have chose a worse host for the Oscars."
Maybe. Got it confused, see, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, this is so frustrating. I mean, no matter how many investigations we launch, he keeps slipping out of them somehow. I mean, at this rate, there'll never be justice for Bob Menendez. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
This week, Dean Phillips dropped out of the Democratic primary race because he realized no one knew he was in it.
True.
I don't know if you heard about this. The TSA is trying out a new airport security system that relies on self-screening.
Mm-hmm.
Self-screening. Mm-hmm. Now passengers get to pat themselves down.
Hey, look, now that's making me want to travel.
May delay the flight. And 92-year-old Rupert Murdoch has gotten engaged again.
Sweet.
Say what you will about the guy, but I'm pretty sure that burning in his loins is Ben Gay.
More fun, more music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, here we go, kicking off a brand new week with Rocky Mountain Mike.
I've had enough of the cinema girl.
Yeah.
I can be happy the rest of my life without the cinema girl. She dreams she'll be president. She is a big louse. My dog has a better chance of winning the White House than Cinema Girl. Big Pharma sent her money. Now she wore a vest made from cows. She doesn't stand a chance. She got too big for her pants.
Mountain Mike, Rocky MNT and Mike on Twitter, as always. Yeah, go follow him now. Cinema Girl, yeah. Kirsten Cinema's gone. Are you crying because of that, too? I know. I was.
I will not. She will not be missed at my house.
No, not at all. No. Not at all. And as I've been saying, Buzz, have you ever encountered anyone, Democrat, Republican, indifferent, who says, oh, I liked Kirsten Cinema. I wish she wouldn't step down. My God, what's happening to the world? No, no one's saying that. Everyone hates Kirsten Cinema. No one's a fan. So it's about time, right?
There may be some scary moms in her district who feel that way, but outside of that, no, I don't think so. No.
Right. Speaking of scary moms, let's talk about Katie Britt and the State of the Union. First of all, I should say Kimberly and I reacted to all the State of the Union things and Katie Britt's response on the Friday after party, which is now available for just $1 a month subscribers and on up. Yeah. So if you're just subscribed at the $1 level, or if you're a brand new subscriber, maybe signing up today for the $1 level on our Patreon page, you can go and listen to the after party from Friday, because it was an important one, because we were talking about that just crucially important State of the Union address by President Biden, essentially kicking off his 2024 campaign with that speech. And God, what a kickoff it was, right? I mean, you got to give it up for Joe Biden on that one, right?
I agree. The great thing about this, first of all, the energy that he brought in, of course, the right is saying he took uppers or something.
Yeah, bullshit.
Before the speech to get
bullshit.
Bullshit.
No, he was the Joe Biden that we've known throughout the years. It's just, you know, this was a big occasion, and he was being Joe Biden at the fullest.
Yeah.
What was great about it was the fact that I think it won back a lot of Democrats.
Yes.
Who had doubts about his ability to continue as president.
That's right.
And that's very important. It also won, I think, independents who had doubts about whether he could continue. Yep. And it might have even changed the mind of a Republican voter here and there.
Yeah.
And every vote helps. So this was very good. It's a very clear start to the campaign. People were wondering where it was. Well, it's here. And in my opinion, it's right on time. This is actually the time to start doubling down. And the other great thing about that speech being the beginning of the campaign is that he has followed it up in speeches and rallies and appearances since then, carrying that same energy and those same messages. And I love the tweet, not on my watch, or, you know, I will stop you, as he said in the speech. This is the Joe Biden that I wanted to see. And I think the speech did most of America watch it? No, most of America did not watch it. Red hats did not watch it. The public perception begins to get changed with events such as this one. This is what sets everything in motion.
Yeah, 32 million people watched that speech. It wasn't, I hate to put it this way, it wasn't the ratings of a Donald Trump State of the Union, but most people watch Donald Trump's State of the Union for the freak show. It's a different, a different viewership, I would say.
Right.
But the other thing that I noticed last night, Buzz, is that Jon Stewart was kind of self-deprecating about his initial episode of The Daily Show, his return to The Daily Show.
I would hope so.
Based on what he saw Thursday night at the State of the Union. So he was actually contrite during his opening segment last night, which I was so happy to hear.
And I may go back to watching. May go back to watching. I've stayed away as a personal decision with the option of coming back. I said that from the very beginning.
Yeah.
But I was still, I mean, he has done this throughout his career, this both sides thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this has won him back. This will be helpful to us. I will go watch that episode because I want to see that. And also, although I watched the President's State of the Union speech, I didn't stick around for the Republican response. Of course, I watched it later. I saw a recorded version of it later, and then I saw it lampooned on Saturday Night Live and elsewhere. Yeah. Stephanie Miller did a great
Stephanie's bit was hilarious.
Fantastic job.
In fact, my favorite one of the batch.
Yeah.
Especially
than SNL. Yeah.
The way it ended was so perfect. The freak out in the last couple of seconds, and then it cuts off just as she's freaking out right into the camera. perfection, absolute perfection. God bless Stephanie Miller. Yes.
So I'm familiar. I initially didn't watch because I knew what it was going to be. I mean, it was going to be the usual S show that the Republicans put on.
Right.
And this always cracks me up because I'm always hearing, yes, she's a rising star in the Republican Party. We heard that about Bobby Jindal. He's a rising star in the Republican Party. That's a curse, man. If the Republicans pick you, let's say you're a Republican. If the Republicans pick you to give that response, you're doomed. It's a curse.
Yeah, because, I'm screaming.
If they say to you, you're a rising star, you're doomed. You're absolutely doomed. And this just cracks me up. So that's the other fun thing about the State of the Union response.
Yeah, you think by now they'd get that thing down a little bit. I mean, one of the things they did that they keep doing, and this is the thing that cursed Bobby Jindal, is they cut to it too soon. Like, it gave him too much lead time where he didn't have anything to say, where there was like a gap of just silence. In the case of Bobby Jindal, he walked with that weird grin, walked silently up to the camera in a very, very awkwardly long beat. And that made it awkward. It was the same with Katie Britt. It started out with just a shot of her and she wasn't saying anything, and then ended with her just staring into the camera the same way, just with too long of a tail. It was just so cringe.
Here's what I've never understood about the Republican response, or for that matter, the Democratic response.
Yeah.
Why isn't the leadership giving this speech? If the leadership of the Democratic Party and the President of the United States gives the State of the Union speech, then the response from the Republican Party should be, where's Lindsey? Where's McConnell? Where's, Speaker of the Week? Where are these guys? And why are we pushing these, poor innocent lambs up there to slaughter? I mean, trust me, I have no sympathy for her, but they do become victims at a certain point.
Yeah, I would say that it's a matter of introducing what they believe to be rising stars. I think they feel as though, Katie Britt has a big future in Republican politics, and I would go so far as to say that she was on a short list for vice president because, once again, woman, and I think the Republicans are going to be super cynical about their vice presidential nominee this time around. They're gonna choose a woman because, as we saw with Katie Britt's reaction, they think that presenting woman in kitchen will mean women will go, look, woman in kitchen, they're with me. And that's like a completely cynical point of view. Like, women are that shallow. It's like if they were to choose a black vice presidential running mate, it would be done just to say, hey, look, black friend.
You always have to ask yourself, did they give this any thought, really? I mean, was that all, was what you just described of, we'll put up a woman because that'll win women, is that all the deeper their thinking goes? Is that, it just astounds me. And the other thing that gets me is the lack of balls for not doing it live. It's not really a response. This was recorded earlier. They don't know. They haven't had a copy of the president's speech beforehand. Right. So they're responding to nothing.
I had no idea. I didn't know that it was pre-taped.
It's always recorded. So
why the awkward open and close? Why don't they just cut that a little closer
poor production. The networks just roll the tape they're given.
Okay. so awkward. Yeah, well, what's even more awkward is the big news to come out of Katie Britt's remarks is the fact that she lied about this migrant rape story, this victim.
Years.
Yeah, because it actually occurred in 2004, between 2004 and 2008, and Katie Britt made it seem like it just happened because of Joe Biden's shitty border policy or whatever kind of message they're trying to get across. And of course, this is massively misleading. And now MAGA is circling the wagons around Katie Britt. And I swear to God, well, check your watch. In a matter of seconds, Katie Britt is going to be the next big MAGA hero. Where they started out like, what was that?
I don't know.
Now I think they're going to start to circle the wagons. I think she's going to be speaking at the convention. I mean, these are just predictions.
Maybe,
I don't know. I don't know this for a fact, but I do think that in the past we've seen people like Kyle Rittenhouse, for example, a lot of people who are doofuses on the national stage and get attacked by the normals. Then the MAGA people feel compelled because the normals are coming after their people. Then they start to put up a defense, and that defense will rapidly transform into Katy Britt is our hero. Stop bashing Katy Britt. How dare you people? We're going to make Katy Britt our vice presidential nominee, or she's going to speak at the convention. She is going to be a hero to these people. Like this season's Joe the Plumber or whatever. You know what I mean?
You took that a little farther than I would have. I don't know that will happen. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it won't. They might elevate her.
Yeah.
She may very well speak at the convention. I don't think she'll make it to the level of vice presidential candidate. She's too stupid, and there was too much embarrassment within the Republican Party at what they had done and what she had done and the ridicule that it got. The fact that terrible speech was amplified on a stage like Saturday Night Live, and I hate giving Lauren Michaels the credit, but political careers are made and broken often on that show. That show has more reach than a lot of other forms of media. So once a politician makes it to that show in some form or another, that's where they get their notoriety, be it good or bad.
Yeah.
And in this case, I think she did a lot of damage, or the amplification of what she did even more damage to the Republican Party than the thing she did itself.
So much buzz of the Republican grievance list right now has to do with normals ridiculing them. I mean, the thing they hate most, and in fact, the thing Donald Trump hates the most, is being ridiculed, being mocked and teased. And so that, I think the reaction to that is going to be, yes, Katy Britt is our hero. Fuck you for going after Katy Britt. She is.
It could be.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a distinct possibility for that to happen.
Either one of us could be right about this from where I sit right now.
Oh, you sure.
Know, so we'll see. But that's what we've presented is a thing to watch.
So, on Real America Voice, I don't know what that is, but there was a podcast on television on one of these Fox News copycat networks.
Yes, I'm familiar.
And they were reacting to the speech, to Katy Britt's response, and they came back after it ended, and there was a long silence where they were all sitting with their, doing a facepalm thing.
Right.
Yeah, and here was their reaction after the long gap of facepalming silence.
I'm sure she's
I'm
very,
a fan of her.
I'm sure she's very nice, and I don't want to get like over the top here. But that is the, everything about that on a night like tonight is wrong.
See, that's what makes me think she won't be elevated. But I understand your point, and maybe you've spotlighted something we need to watch ourselves for.
Yeah.
Because maybe we're helping them sometimes.
Right.
I don't know whether it's better to ridicule, which is fun, and we know it gets to them. But from a PR standpoint, is it better to ridicule or ignore? And of course, this is a debate.
Ridicule. I'm on team ridicule.
I know you always have. I haven't seen clear evidence one way or the other yet that either one is working. And I've been through a hell of a week with MAGA.
Yeah. Well, it's the Joe Biden theory. I mean, Joe Biden completely rabbit season, duck season, those guys, once again, Thursday night.
He was
on
very good with that. $2 trillion
tax cut and Social Security and Medicare. Did it to them again.
I love it when he spars with them in person. Yeah.
Right, because he knows that they will say the opposite of whatever he says. So if he says they want to cut $2 trillion in taxes for these super rich, then they'll go, no, because they're just doing the opposite of whatever Joe Biden says they're going to do. And so that traps them. And that's when he goes, okay, fine, no $2 trillion tax cut for the super rich. You're on the record. Congratulations, you've just been owned, all of you, on live national television. For the second year in a row.
I know Wile E. Coyote hasn't been around for a while, but the Republican Party is keeping Acme in business.
Yes, they are. It's a wonderful thing to behold. Allegedly feeble old Sleepy Joe owned the entire Republican Party, every single congressional Republican, on live national television, spontaneously, just as a matter of, hey, I'm fucking Scranton Joe and go fuck yourself.
Second year in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely. So, yeah, the other thing that happened in the aftermath was George Stephanopoulos had Nancy Mace on this week on Sunday morning. Yeah. And George Stephanopoulos, wow, actually doing his job as a journalist, asking the tough questions, asking Nancy Mace that, as a rape victim, how can you possibly support someone who's been found liable for rape? And of course, she went off as though George Stephanopoulos is the rat bastard for asking the question. How dare he shame her? When in fact, it's her guy who actually committed rape, who's been determined by a court of law to have committed rape and then to have lied about it, and who just like a day before posted $91 million dollars in a bond.
Some people might be sensitive to George Stephanopoulos asking a rape victim how she feels about a rapist.
Yeah.
However, you must understand that she is a public official who has spoken publicly about her assault.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was bringing something out that she hadn't mentioned herself, mm-hmm. A topic that she adores. She had not opened herself. She is a public official, which as a public official opens you to all kinds of questions, ridicule, parody, whatever. He was asking a fair and reasonably journalistic question without saying the phrase, being a rape victim yourself, how do you feel about supporting rapist Donald Trump for president? That's what he was asking her, but he didn't say the part. He didn't say the part about being a rape victim yourself. He had the good taste to avoid that phrase and simply ask, how do you, Nancy Mace, feel about supporting rapist Donald Trump? That's a fair question.
Right.
And, you know, while that normally might be a sensitive thing, I have to defend Stephanopoulos or Slopanopoulos, whatever Trump called him.
Trump said, what a dick.
Yeah. No, I would have to defend him on that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And it was in the context of discussing Katie Britt's lie about this
about the
migrant situation.
Yes,
exactly right. I mean, it was a horrible thing that happened to Carla Romero. Horrible. Yeah, yeah. But it happened when George W. Bush was president.
Right.
And so that was the kickoff point of the conversation. And then Nancy Mace turned it into all about her and, you know, like all MAGA Republicans. Why are they so unfair to me? Why? Stop being so unfair. The whining, the crapping in your big boy diapers is just absolutely absurd. And, you know, going back to what I was saying, I think that's exactly why they're going to rally around Katie Britt at some point soon, if not Nancy Mace as well. But anyone, I would say any woman with a one syllable last name is a contender right now for Donald Trump's vice presidential nominee. I think it's going to be Kristi Noem, quite honestly. But you know what? Any day now, Katie Britt could rise to the top of that list. You just don't know, because this Republican Party, as we're going to discuss a little later on the show, has become the Donald Trump Party.
With Trump's pea-sized brain, it wouldn't surprise me if he chose Britt over Noem, because he would think Britt would look better on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Trump Noem just doesn't it doesn't look good on a sticker.
That's right.
He's going to pick, you're right, he's going to pick probably a one-syllable name.
Yeah.
And I don't think it'll be Noem, because I don't think he'll like the way it looks on the sticker.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how he thinks.
Yep, yep. And so this whole victimhood thing has been something that you and I have been dealing with when it comes to the MAGA trolls and so forth for the last a couple of days here. And to kick things off, you may have heard this. At one of Trump's rallies over the weekend, he launched the rally by mocking Joe Biden's stutter. And this is one of the most obnoxious things that Donald Trump has ever did. And it's a long list of obnoxious things. I think we're now in the hundreds of thousands, maybe into the millions of obnoxious things. But this is rising up to the list. This is on the same level, I think, as Serge Kovalevsky, when he was mocking Serge Kovalevsky's disability, when he was mocking Megyn Kelly's period blood. You know, these are the things that Donald Trump does every fucking day. And yet, when I said one thing in reaction to Donald Trump mocking Joe Biden's stutter, the entire like MAGA troll army just descended on my head.
You triggered
the other day.
You found a trigger and you pulled it.
And you know, the crazy thing about it was, it's not the first time I've tweeted this. I basically quote tweeted Donald Trump mocking Joe Biden's stutter, and I said, "There will be lines to piss on his grave." Which is not saying that I'm going to do it or that you should do it. I'm just saying that people will. Yes, because he is so hated that eventually people will likely do that.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly.
So all of the MAGA trolls. And by the way, we just play a second of Donald Trump doing this. This is Donald Trump mocking Joe Biden's stutter the other night.
I'm going to bring the country together. I'm going to bring it together.
So anyone with kids who have stuttering issues and so forth, that's your ex-president. That's the guy who wants to be president of the United States again, president for life, in fact. And so when I saw that, I said, how else do you quantify how much of an asshole Donald Trump is? And one of the things, one of the ways I thought to quantify it is, yeah, there's going to be a lot of regular people who are going to want to piss on his fucking grave. And, you know, look, I don't think it's a good idea to vandalize anything.
Encouraging.
People,
it seems inevitable.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
So all these MAGA people are like, oh, you have no class, Seska. Well, it's such low class. Like, do you even see what I'm reacting to? You guys are the most obnoxious motherfucker ever to step on the national stage. And that includes, you know, entertainment industry. That includes sports and obviously politics. And so you have the nerve to come at me and say that I'm being low class in defense of that guy? Are you fucking kidding me? Anyway, so that was
the thing you described.
Yeah.
I hear he likes it.
That's right.
Thank you. I'll be here. I'll be here for the rest of the show, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's apparently, if you believe Christopher Steele. So, yeah. But, I mean, you had a similar situation where you're just...
Yeah. Do we have time for this before the break? Or
fuck, yeah. Why not?
Oh,
why not?
Okay, all right. Well, it's been a rough week for me. There's been a MAGA assault on my senses since we were last here.
Yeah.
And maybe you can relate to this. And by you, I mean each of you individually listening. Maybe you've encountered this sort of a period of days where first I had a lawn crew here late last week because I need help cleaning up a million things, just trees trimmed and bushes, you know, all of that. I just needed help because it was overwhelming. And so I had a crew here for a one-time thing, and the leader of the crew, very nice man, good heart, kind person, a man of peace, I learned from speaking to him extensively. But also, the conversation broke my heart because this man, like so many millions of Americans, has been sucked down a rabbit hole of misinformation.
Yeah.
And extend my hand as I might, I'm not sure I could pull him back. I think I made some progress with him, but when he started referring to they... And he started, and eventually it led to the aliens. And I asked him, well, where are you getting this information? And he said, TikTok.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, oh my God. I said, that is the worst. And he learned that I had had a career as a journalist. And because he is a good man with a good heart who's just been misled, he asked me, what are good sources of information? What should I be listening to? I may be on my way to helping this guy, but to know that that level of down the rabbit hole-ism is out there is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Number two, I'm driving to a dinner to celebrate a friend's birthday, and we pass a gaggle of Trump supporters. 18 red-hatted adults in a cluster holding up signs for Trump. And again, I'm starting to feel overwhelmed. I mean, and I'm sure there's something else I know I'm forgetting. I've probably blocked it out because it's been such an unpleasant string of days, MAGA-wise. I mean, you know, we all have our own little problems in our own lives and stuff we got to fix and, you know, we got to repair this. You know, so you have other concerns. And then when you add to this sort of this existential layer of fear and dread on top of that, it can be somewhat overwhelming. And then I get overwhelmed by red hats on one of my three Facebook pages. Let me explain. First of all, I don't spend any time on Facebook. I don't spend any time on any of the sites. I go to it's now six pages, I guess, on which I post breaking news. And then I go home. I don't stick around to see what most of the time. But and I realized, like, on the Michael J. Elston page, I have batted away red hats over the years for a period of years. And I pretty much weeded them out. Mm-hmm. I lead a pretty peaceful existence over on the Michael J. Elston page.
Yeah.
But over on the Buzz Burbank Show page, or just Buzz Burbank page, they just started giving you the option of when you post something on Facebook, would you like this to also go on your Buzz Burbank page?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been clicking yes. So what that means is for the first time, I'm posting news updates on the Buzz Burbank page. It's never happened before. And my other things, like I found a great editorial cartoon, very benign. Mm-hmm. It's a picture of Lady Justice from her back. She's looking up at a departure and arrival board at an airport. And mm-hmm. it says New York delayed, Atlanta delayed, Washington, D.C. delayed, New York boarding. It was just a benign cartoon. It indicated that while three cases are on hold, one is actually commencing. Yeah. And that's all the cartoon was about. Hundreds of MAGA descended upon that editorial, that benign editorial cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them calling it a meme. Many of them used the R word to describe me.
Oh, Jesus.
And I have reported them for hate speech regarding disabilities.
Yeah.
I have blocked hundreds of MAGA people. What I realized is that at the time it was part of this being overwhelmed by MAGA sense that I'd been gathering.
Yeah.
And this was just crushing to see this. And then I figured it out. With the Michael J. Elston page, I'd been able to bat them away one by one over 15 years or mm-hmm. whatever. With the Buzz Burbank page, where I had never posted news or comment before, simply publicized shows there.
Mm.
Now that I've started posting news and comment there, it's suddenly been noticed by MAGA. And so while the Michael J. Elston page had already weeded out all those jokers, they have found the Buzz Burbank page, and now I'm having to do all of them at once instead of over a period of 15 years.
Right, right. And it's like the MAGA eye of Sauron focused right in on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes.
And that happens a lot. It certainly happened to me over the weekend with that Joe Biden stuttering thing, and remarkable and so disillusioning. I'm going through a similar thing, and I'm driving to Philadelphia. I'm driving up to Pennsylvania to visit with family, and on my way, I'm on 95 here between Washington, D.C. and Philadelphia, and there's, you know, always a certain amount of traffic there, and I'm thinking the whole way, about 2 or 3 out of every 10 of these cars is being driven by a supporter of Donald Trump. That is immensely harrowing. And so I'm like white knuckling it, thinking, these gullible sucker idiots are hurtling down I-95 in 2,000 pound bullets. And they're right next to me in traffic. Just out of their sheer stupidity, they could careen into me and kill me. I mean, this is what I'm thinking. Yeah. This is my paranoid mind.
Well, but part of that is you, but you're right about that. And they're also allowed to raise children, and they're allowed to vote. And it's very scary to know that they can do any of those things,
right.
All of which, by the way, can have deadly results. So it's very. I wanted to mention this too. There was a death. It was kind of a death threat. It was a general threat. It was not directed at me.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I've not reported it to the police. You're only if you see a threat of violence on Facebook, there is no longer a way to report that through Facebook. Facebook will tell you call your local police.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not gonna do that.
Right.
And first of all, I don't think it's a direct personal threat. But Chase, I won't even give his last name, writes, I hope you're kind like lead. You'll be eating a lot of it soon.
Fuck.
We will only put up with KGB-style lawfare in America so long, Democrats. Putin and Biden seem to use the same playbook!
And that is all in defense of an obvious con man.
Yeah.
Obvious. I want to underscore the word obvious. Obvious, because everyone sees it. Donald Trump is objectively a con man.
Right.
And these motherfuckers, they don't see
it. They bought into it.
I'm saying, by the way, I'm saying the F word a lot today, and I apologize for that. But the fact is that so many people, so many millions of people, how many people voted for him in 2020? 74 million people? 74 million people with broken bullshit detectors. 74 million suckers.
Hypnotized.
Who have been hypnotized, fished in, brainwashed by an obvious con man. It's not like there's some mystery about Donald Trump. Oh, is he? Is this like some form of three-layer chess that he's playing? Is he really such a con man? No. It's been adjudicated. It's clear. He is a fraud con man. Everything he touches dies. And
they bought into it. And yeah. We feel surrounded by them. And I want you, listener, to know that I have experienced what I'm guessing you've experienced, too. And that is to feel overwhelmed from the 18 people gathered to the lawn guy and the aliens to the red hats attacking mm-hmm. me on Facebook to the threats to the use of the R word, which, by the way, they laughed when Trump made fun of Biden's stutter. The laughter is almost worse than what Trump did.
Yeah.
The fact that we've made it okay to laugh at stutterers, to call people the R word, and to abuse that word and the people that they hope to associate with it.
Yeah.
It's can be an overwhelming feeling. And I have to be honest, I came to a point where I thought, we're screwed.
Yeah.
We're going to lose. And if we lose, that's it. That's all the marbles. That's the ball game. That's it. It's over. And I just got overwhelmed by that. And I know you do too.
Yeah.
But I also see and have been shown encouraging signs since then that say it doesn't have to be this way. Mm-hmm. Are these shadows of things that will be or might be? It depends on what we do, and we obviously need to get to work.
Yeah.
And if I may add one more thing, among the red hats who barraged me, is that a word? Is
yeah.
That proper use?
We'll say it's a word. Yeah, we'll go.
I heard from a lot of real estate agents regarding the fraud decision in New York saying, oh, well, silly boy, you don't understand how real estate works. What? So you're telling me that real estate relies on fraud? You're saying real estate is a crooked business? Is that what you're saying to me?
Yes, yeah.
You know, and the other thing was no one got hurt. Red hats are saying no one got hurt. Well, you can drive drunk, and if you don't kill anybody, nobody got hurt,
mm-hmm.
but you still broke the law.
That's right.
So it's still fraud, lying about finances. And, mm-hmm. and they don't see that. They don't know that because they have been hypnotized. And thank you for letting me get all of that off my chest.
My pleasure. And I want to go back to one of the first things you said in this particular run. We're not going to lose. I just want to reassure you. I'm still feeling immensely confident. In fact, I'm feeling more confident now than I did on Wednesday of last week.
Good.
Or right up to the beginning of the State of the Union. As soon as that State of the Union began, holy God, it was like, please pump this into my veins. It's like I wanted an IV line going right into my vein, because it was one of those things where not only did he energize the base, not only did he energize normals, but he, as you said, he reassured independents.
Donations went off the chart, and he was already doubling Trump in donations.
Yeah.
There's very, and I appreciate that. I need that. But you see, and this is the point that I'm making, is that when we get overwhelmed by all this MAGA stuff, when this much MAGA stuff happens to a person, it can crush your soul.
It really can.
And that's what they want.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't understand the self-owning that they're doing in the name of apparently owning us. Like, it's almost as if they're deliberately looking like idiots because they think that if they look like idiots, or if Donald Trump looks like an idiot, it's somehow going to hurt us in some way. And while I'll admit that when I see Donald Trump doing stupid shit, it pains me to see that, because I know the damage he's causing. And this goes back to something you were saying. I think that Donald Trump understands the power. I think maybe more than anybody on the presidential stage, I think Donald Trump understands the power of the bully pulpit. He understands that people will go along with their leadership, irrespective of what that leadership says, as long as it's delivered in just the right way. So he is abusing the bully pulpit of either being president or being a presidential candidate.
And getting worse at it.
Yeah, because he knows that if he says all of this awful shit, then other people will also say the awful shit, because they look to their leaders to set the tone.
The discourse gets lower and lower and lower, and they use the R word, and they laugh at jokes, at the mocking of people with a disability, whether it's stuttering or some physical disability. It's become okay in that crowd to laugh at such things. This is a schoolyard mentality. Mm-hmm. A substantial portion of the American population has regressed into childhood.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. and a little bit terrifying, especially when you're on the highway. I'm just saying, I've become more insulated, because I feel like, okay, well, here
then the terrorists win.
Right. In my podcast studio, I feel safe.
Yeah,
I'm like, screaming about windmills causing cancer and how they buy faucets and no water comes out? Is that how deluded they are? I don't know.
I've also had weeks of outings where I didn't come across a lot of MAGA people in your face. And, I refuse to let them make me stay in my house. I'm not going to do that. I refuse to cede my ground, just as I refuse to leave Florida in spite of the a-holes that are running the place.
Good.
Because someday, whether it's this year or some future year, America's going to get Florida back from these a-holes.
Yes, and we will certainly return to this throughout the show because we've got more Trump things to talk about. I want to talk about what's happening right now in the House of Representatives. Robert Hur is testifying, and it is apparently a shit show. Sure. Like, the testimony began right as we started the show, but I know at least a couple of things that are happening. Plus, you don't need to be watching the hearings to get the news that dropped today from the Washington Post, and we'll get to that too. This is specific to Robert Hur and what he issued in his report about Joe Biden, and it turns out not entirely true. Robert Hur needs to be fired as soon as possible. If Merrick Garland knows what's good for him, Garland will fire. Well, you know what? Actually, Robert Hur stepped down. Never mind. Robert Hur has already quit the Justice Department. I just saw this. So he quit the Justice Department right before he went up to testify.
I see. So, okay. All right. That explains why Merrick Garland couldn't stop him from testifying.
Right. And my guess is that it could be that Merrick Garland asked him to resign. I mean, that's a possibility. So it's all up in the air at this point. And obviously, we've been doing the show, so we don't have the up-to-the-minute information. Those of you people of the future, you will understand this a little more than we do at this point. But got some things to talk about on that front. Plus, that former Mar-a-Lago guy talked to CNN and just blew the whistle all over Donald Trump. Just dropped a gigantic cartoon-sized anvil onto Trump's head. We'll talk about that, too. Plus, bloodbath at the RNC. Those aren't my words. Those are Charlie Kirk's words, and they're true. Plus, Trump defamed E. Jean Carroll twice in the last few days.
Yep.
We'll get into that. Plus, Trump posted his bond. God, there's so much still to talk about. And we're coming up on 45 minutes into the show. So we got to take a quick break. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There is exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska!
All-time favorites all day long!
Up on the stage, under the lights, eight drunks in the crowd, but we're feeling alright, so crank up the amps, step on the gas.
brand new music here from a band called Vegas De Milo. I love the name of the band. And the song is called Charlie Watts. Yes, the former drummer for the Rolling Stones, Charlie Watts, the late right. Charlie Watts.
Very cool.
Yeah, they named the song after him. Got a link in the description to download it into your record collection. Do it now. Just go to bobseska.com, find this episode dated 3/12/24. Click that link, scroll down, and you'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. Plus, while you're there, if you happen to have a band, if you're a recording artist, et cetera, independent recording artist, go to bobseska.com/music, and you can submit your work to the show. Thank you
my
for doing
favorite,
that.
Yeah. My favorite lyrics from what you just played are, just need three chords because we ain't playing jazz.
That's right.
I took a music lesson once in which I was taught, well, first we're going to learn three chords because a lot of people have gotten very rich on three chords.
Yeah. And as a progressive rock fan, I take a little bit of offense to that. So, yeah.
I'm kidding. You know what? Wear it as a badge of pride.
Right. Well, I like music that doesn't have just three chords. I like music that makes up its own chords in addition to the three chords yes. and then all kinds of time signature changes. That's the kind of shit.
As
that
I do I, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I love Vegas De Milo. I love straight ahead rock and roll as well, too. So,
lyrics there, by the way.
Okay, so Robert Herr is testifying in the House as we record this show, as we were saying before the break. Mm-hmm. And before we, because we don't know what's happening, I do know that Jared Nadler at one point played a devastating montage of Trump showing disturbing memory issues.
Good.
That's one thing I'm noticing here.
I don't know how Gerald Nadler wedged that in, but I'm sure glad he did.
And I also know that Fox News carried it the entire way through. So sometimes shit gets through that bubble and
stuff. The truth has been slowly leaking out on Fox. I can't tell. Sometimes intentionally, I think, but sometimes accidentally.
Right, right. So if you set aside like Jesse Waters and Jeanine Pirro,
please somebody set them aside.
Yes, please. Or anything that happens in primetime, stuff that happens around that is actually exposing Donald Trump. Like if you watch Neil Cavuto, for example, there have been so many occasions where, Jessica Tarlov, who I think does a fantastic job on Fox News's The Five.
Right.
You know what time The Five comes on, Buzz?
Four?
Five.
Oh, now that's clever. That's clever programming.
I know. They're such smarties over there at Fox News, creative geniuses.
I just figured to them five would be four. But.
Yeah. But, I mean, we've been seeing this a lot, where suddenly the truth breaks through the Fox News bubble, and that's good news. So that's been happening today, certainly in the context of these hearings. And the thing that dropped almost right away, the first news story I saw this morning was the fact that the transcript has been released, and the Washington Post did a write-up about the transcript for the Robert Herr interview of Joe Biden. This was back on October 7th, the same day that there was that massive terrorist attack in Israel by Hamas.
Right.
And so Joe Biden's there taking questions, and in fact, he was offering up information that Robert Herr wasn't even really asking for. In fact, I think Robert Herr had to slow him down, had to stop him and say, okay, yeah, you've got a good photographic memory here. I mean, at one point, he was actually complimenting Joe Biden's photographic memory.
Underscore that. Robert Herr was complimenting Biden on his photographic memory.
Right. So according to the Washington Post, Robert Herr asked Joe Biden famously about when Bo Biden died. And so Joe Biden's response was, what month did Bo die? Oh, God, May 30th.
Yeah.
So Joe Biden knew the date of his son's death, May 30th.
Right.
And then two others in the room chimed in with the year.
Right.
So it wasn't like Joe Biden said there, I can't remember the year. And then a couple of people blurted out it was 2015. And then Joe Biden's response was it 2015 when he died?
Let me just jump in here to say that between ending his Senate career and the devastating loss of his son and the release of a book and running for president, he did have a little trouble keeping the years on things straight.
Yeah.
You would, too. I would, too. Yeah. I wouldn't have performed as well as he did on most of these questions, for whatever that means. He did extremely well. He did have that photographic memory of many details. And he absolutely knew the date. He knows every year.
Yeah.
On May 30th, he mourns the loss of his son, Bo.
That's right. And I think the response, was it 2015 when he died, was almost like, was it that long ago? Was it really? God, it seems like it was just yesterday. It was that kind of response.
A number of years had been tossed about, so he's having to ask. What he's asking is, which year are we talking about now?
Yeah.
And so there was some of that as well. But otherwise, you know, this was just, some truth is leaking out of this transcript as well.
Yeah, exactly. So at one point it said here, not long after the exchange, her suggested they consider taking a brief break. No, Biden responded.
No, no.
He said, no. And then he said, let me just keep going to get it done.
Right.
So, yeah. So 81-year-old Joe Stamina. Biden's like, yes, let's keep going. I got it. We're covered here. Let's keep pushing forward and get this thing done.
He wasn't tired. He wasn't sleepy.
Right. And much younger Robert Hur is going, oh, I need a break.
Yeah. Right.
No, exactly. No, no.
No, no, no.
You're not going to get a break.
Robert. You know, the reason Joe Biden walks the way he does is he fractured his foot.
Yes.
And so he's got a slight limp from that fracture. He doesn't move slowly because he's a doddering old man. It's because his foot freaking hurts.
Plus, he doesn't want to fall down because of his limping foot.
Everybody's watching, yeah.
Right, right. So he's extra careful. I mean, Donald Trump should understand that, the way he walked down that ramp at West Point, you know.
Yeah, right.
Or wherever that was. I think it was at West Point. But we all know the scene we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah. I can visualize it.
Yeah, and then speaking of Donald Trump, this former Mar-a-Lago guy, Brian Butler, is a staffer at Mar-a-Lago, talked to CNN. He is also known as, Brian Butler is also known as Trump Employee 5 in the classified documents
number
indictment.
Number five.
Brought by Jack Smith. In this exclusive interview with CNN, he said that he didn't believe the criminal case against Trump is a witch hunt. Revealing, isn't it? So Brian Butler has seen the evidence. He's seen the interactions with De Oliveira and Nauta and Trump himself. He's been around these people, and he is saying to the public, no, don't believe the shit about witch hunt. Butler told CNN how he unknowingly helped Nauta deliver boxes of classified information from Mar-a-Lago to the former president's plane in June of 2022, the same day that Trump and his attorney were meeting with the Justice Department at Mar-a-Lago about the classified documents. So there was a meeting happening at Mar-a-Lago with Trump and the Justice Department and his lawyers. And at the same time, Nauta is hiding boxes, taking boxes, right, probably on a plane to Bedminster, which opens the question, when is Bedminster going to be raided and searched?
Open hole on the golf course.
And can it even, I mean, will Merrick Garland even authorize something like this right in the heart of a presidential election? Will that even happen? Does Merrick Garland have the guts to do that?
I defended him for so long.
Me too.
I guess it was wishful thinking, I guess. He's been a huge disappointment. He should have rebuked. He should have done a Bill Barr on Hur's report on Biden.
Yeah.
The fact that there was no response from Merrick Garland when Hur's report came out told me everything I wanted to know. And the fact that Garland didn't immediately order her not to testify for this latest Republican circus.
Right, right.
You know, I'm so disappointed. The reason we're dealing with all of quote unquote Trump's delays now, they're really Merrick Garland's delays. He waited two, 3 years to get around to this. I'm having a hard time with all of this, and I am ready for the right after the election, one way or the other, Merrick Garland has to go. There's been one other revelation. May I add?
Sure.
The driver, Trump's driver on January 6th, who took him from the White House to the Ellipse and back again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Testified that contrary to Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony, which she had heard secondhand, contrary to her testimony, Trump did not try to grab the steering wheel nor lunge at the driver at any point. The driver has now testified for Jack Smith and his people that Trump, however, was very angry, did swear a lot, and continued and demanded to be taken to Capitol Hill mm-hmm. to join the protesters. And the Secret Service told him it wasn't safe. And he said, why would you be concerned? They're my people.
Yeah.
There's no security risk here. They said, sir, it's not a planned event, sir. And now I'm doing it. They said, it's not a plan. It's how Secret Service agents address the president. Yeah. Said, it's not a planned event. And he said, well, it's not a security problem because they're all my people. I'll be perfectly safe there. So he wanted to join that insurrection. And even after he was taken back to the White House, the driver says, Trump continued to insist that he be taken to Capitol Hill to join in the invasion of the Capitol.
I'm going to add something here. I'm going to be that guy, Buzz. I'm going to say that there are a lot of Secret Service agents who are loyal to Donald Trump who will deliberately downplay what happened that day. And so that's why I'm taking that testimony with a grain of salt, a big giant salt like the size of your head. So
I think it's revelatory. I think he actually hurt Trump here, even in his attempt to help Trump. I think the fact that Trump insisted going back even after he'd been returned to the White House shows his intent. And the fact that he knew that he felt safe among his supporters because they knew, even though he had said they were Antifa and others have said they were Antifa, Trump, this is proof that Trump knew they were his people. He called them that.
Yeah.
So well, this is actually substantial evidence.
Okay. So going back to Butler's comments to CNN, he also said that Nauta and De Oliveira loaded up that vehicle. It was, a Cadillac Escalade, before driving it to the West Palm Beach airport. Butler arrived with his own car filled with Trump family luggage, then helped Nauta load Trump's plane with the luggage as well as banker's boxes of documents that were in the Escalade. He said they were the boxes that were in the indictment, the white banker's boxes. That's what I remember loading, Butler added. Then they also say here that De Oliveira told Butler, for instance, about Nauta traveling to Palm Beach in late June 2022 at a time when Nauta and De Oliveira were allegedly interested in deleting surveillance tapes of a storage room where the boxes had been kept at the club. And at one point in his interviews, Butler said he told investigators that Australian billionaire Anthony Pratt repeated classified submarine secrets following a conversation with Trump in spring of 2021. So there's further confirmation of that from Brian Butler. How'd he get that information? Well, it's pretty obvious here. So that's the latest. And one of the things this does, Buzz, is it further emphasizes, God, based on everything we've seen from the attempted cover-up, the attempt to delete the surveillance footage, the attempt to hide the boxes, transferring the boxes away from Mar-a-Lago while Donald Trump and his attorneys are talking to the Justice Department, this is an open and shut thing. And thank God for Donald Trump that he's got Eileen Cannon working on it, because I think he needs her at this point. Because if it hadn't been for Eileen Cannon and her deliberate obstruction of this, and I hope the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals has something to say about her behavior, but if it weren't for Eileen Cannon, I think Donald Trump might already be in prison by now for this thing. I mean, this is an astonishing series of revelations.
But thanks to Eileen Cannon, will he ever be? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I'm with you on that. Yeah. So let's see what else here. Yeah,
well, and just going back to the thing that I said, I want you to know it really is significant evidence, and even though it's a separate topic, one that probably should not be easily forgotten.
Oh no, absolutely, this all fits into the same continuum.
Yeah, a slightly different subject, but it's another of the two revelations in the last 24 hours.
Two,
yours was one, and mine was the other one. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, there's a bloodbath at the RNC. As we all know, they have a new chairperson, Michael Whatley. He's the former North Carolina Republican chair.
Election denier in chief, I guess.
Right. And then also the co-chair is, of course, Lara Trump. Mm-hmm. This is a hostile takeover of the RNC by the Trump family.
Oh, yeah.
That's what this is all about.
They merge. They become one. It's moving to Palm Beach, so it'll be close to Trump, so it'll be convenient for Lara.
That's a big fucking deal. Yeah, they're moving the digital and finance divisions to Palm Beach. And, of course, digital and finance, Those are the two biggest things.
That's everything.
Yeah,
that's,
of course.
That's everything. And we knew, I mean, Lara Trump said even before she got the job, when I'm in place, every penny that goes to the RNC will become the property of Trump. And she has not ruled out that money being used for his legal defense. So
He's
a couple of things are happening here. The campaign and the RNC, the Trump campaign and the RNC have become one thing.
Yep.
On the day, whether it's now or 40 years from now, the day that the Trump organization, that Trump disappears and the Trump campaign disappears, whenever that might come, there's going to be no RNC left because the RNC is part of that campaign. So when that campaign goes away, the RNC ceases to exist. It's become a fundraising tool for his legal defense, and it could be the death of the RNC. Certainly it merges it with the campaign.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. They've decided to latch their wagons to a loser, to a con man. And again, I go back to what I was saying before. He's an obvious con man. And yet the RNC is like, well, I guess he could win one of these days.
Right.
I mean, even his victory in 2016, he lost the popular vote. Then He lost the midterms in 2018. Then he lost in 2020. In 2022, all these special elections in between. Everything that Donald Trump's got his name on, he has fucking lost. And the RNC has decided, let's have more of that guy. Let's, in fact, merge with that guy. Let's become one and the same with that guy.
I don't know that the RNC decided that. The RNC was overpowered by the Trump machine. The RNC got eaten by the Trump machine. The RNC got swallowed by the Trump machine. I don't think the RNC didn't even have a chance to kick and scream.
Mm. Yeah, but there are a lot of Republicans who are going along with this.
Oh, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of overlap. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wonder how these 60 RNC staffers who were fired feel about all of this at this point. Because, that's the bloodbath part. It's 60 RNC staffers who work across political, communications, and data departments will be let go. Those being asked to resign include 5 members of the senior staff, though the names were not made public. Additionally, some vendor contracts are expected to be cut. I wonder how many of those vendors weren't paid or will not be paid.
Will not be. You know what I mean? Get that final check. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what that's like. I hope this doesn't hurt Biden's job numbers. I really...
I know.
Big layoff.
Those 60 RNC staffers. Yeah, that'll put a ding in it. The RNC had about $8 million at the end of December. That's only about one third as much as the DNC has.
Right.
So that's the other thing. Whatever's left of the RNC war chest is going to be devoured by Donald Trump. Make no mistake. This is a mafia-style bust out. They're doing that thing like in Goodfellas where they take over a bar or something like that and then they move shit in the front door and out the back door, right? Uh-huh. And sell it at a discount or whatever and just completely bust out the place. And then you know what they do at the end of the day, as Henry Hill says in Goodfellas?
What's that?
They light a match. They burn the place down. And that's exactly what's happening to the Republican National Committee, and I am so here for it. This is one of the stories, Buzz, that I've got all the popcorn popping. I've got all the beverages lined up. I'm just sitting here ready. It's like I've got my whole station set up, like the one I'm going to set up outside the penitentiary where Donald Trump is. I've already plotted out the grassy knoll on Rikers Island where I'm going to sit there with my lawn chair and my beverages and sit and laugh at Donald Trump on the other side of the fence.
I believe we have the numbers to win this election. If we get off our asses and actually do it, I worry about a lackadaisical response to the election. I worry about what can happen. Don't think I'm the don't get happy guy now.
Yeah.
I'm the one who's saying, my God, the stakes are so high and so scary. And the opposition, even though they be smaller than we, are so visible and so vocal and so unavoidable that it's easy to get a feeling that what they want is inevitable. And we must not allow that. I must not allow that in myself. And we must all work.
Yes.
Do something to keep Trump from being elected.
Yes. And I think we need to bear in mind, too, that re-election campaigns normally have a drop in turnout. It's not necessarily going to be the case this time, although I think we should wrap our heads around the notion that turnout will be a bit lower. It just, for us, it has to be much higher than the Republicans. That's all that matters. Turnout will make the full difference in all of this. And in fact, we talked about this on the Friday after party, that Christopher Boozy, he's certainly not echoing me. He's on his own with his own math and shit like that. Because I said last week, Buzz, that North Carolina's on the table. That I think Joe Biden has a shot to win North Carolina. I think it's a toss-up state. And I did some math to indicate that based on Super Tuesday results and so forth. Christopher Boozy has come out, and as we know, Boozy was correct about 2022. He's been correct about a lot of the special elections, too. And he's got North Carolina in the Joe Biden column. And to echo what you said, I want to be perfectly clear about this. Don't get happy. It's important that we hustle.
Take nothing for granted. Yeah. Again, not just the important election of your life. This is for all the marbles. I do not exaggerate when I say democracy itself is on the line here.
Yeah.
If Trump gets elected, my friends, it's all over. We can't let that happen. We can't. What if it did?
Yeah.
We can't let that happen.
I'm afraid, and God, we could talk about this all day. My fear is that there are some people, swing voters, regular folks who don't follow politics, and in fact, the percentage of American voters who follow politics every day has declined significantly over the last few years.
Yeah, I know.
And that's a problem in and of itself. But my problem is that there will be this weird pre-COVID nostalgia that will drive votes to Donald Trump. And I don't fucking understand that. I will never understand that.
There's an amnesia. There's a national amnesia. Yes. We've talked about this before, people have forgotten. People have lost perspective. It's one of the reasons I get so angry at my fellow mankind is that they forget so quickly. They're so ignorant of the facts, so accepting of TikTok, you know. I'm ashamed of them. I'm embarrassed by them. And I'm angry with them for being so lazy. Yeah. We have, being a citizen doesn't, you've got more to do than just raise the kids. You have a responsibility to your country.
Yeah.
And more people need to do, more people, progressives need to do that kind of work.
So, I want to talk about E. Jean Carroll here in a second.
Okay.
And I want to add here, Rachel Bitticoffer just tweeted this, and I want to make sure we throw this in just as a matter of our conversation about the RNC and the bloodbath there. Rachel Bitticoffer said, the Trump takeover of the RNC is the same game plan they have for the government.
Yes, it is.
Sweep in with a couple of hacks in leadership, purge out everyone sane with actual skills and abilities, and replace them with Trump hacks who will let him steal all the money. Among Donald Trump's admiration, the list of things that he admires Vladimir Putin for, it's the kleptocracy that Donald Trump loves the most. He loves the fact that Vladimir Putin and the Russian oligarchs are just pillaging the national treasury, pillaging the people of Russia, and enriching themselves based on all of that. And that's exactly what Donald Trump wants to do. He wants to move more of that cash into his own personal accounts on top of defending himself from legal liability. So that's the whole ballgame right there.
Yeah, we did learn more this week, a compilation of comments from retired General John Kelly, Admiral, I guess, and also John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. Bolton's certainly a weirdo conservative, but both men said that Trump had repeatedly praised Kim Jong-un and Putin as okay guys, had referred to Orban, even though he sometimes gets... Even though he sometimes thinks Orban dictates Turkey when it's really hungry, but in addition to getting confused about that and admiring him, he's also admired Hitler.
Yeah.
And what he liked about Hitler was the loyalty. He talked about, he said to his generals, Hitler's generals were loyal to him, and John Kelly corrected him and said, no, in fact, they wanted to kill him, which probably gave Trump something to think about. But it's that loyalty is the key word there. What Trump has done with the RNC and gutting these 60 jobs, the people who've been let go, at least some of them, have been told, you may reapply.
Right.
You may reapply. And don't you think that reapplying involves a loyalty oath?
Yes, of course it does. Duh. Yeah,
yeah,
that'll
yeah.
be that'll certainly be
so
a thing.
That's now what's happening at the RNC. That's mm-hmm. now been overtaken. That's the and yes, Rachel Bitticoffer is as usual right again when yep. she says this is exact. And I noticed this too. I just didn't say anything. Dang, I should have said it first. But I said, well, that's what he wants to do with the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's absolutely correct.
So I think if E. Jean Carroll and Robbie Kaplan have anything to say about it, Donald Trump's going to be on the hook for millions and millions more.
He's
in
such an idiot.
Defamation penalties. We're going to talk about that and maybe a couple of other things because we're running super late. Notify the affiliates. What? We're running late. We got to take one last break.
That never happens when I'm here.
I know. We never talk. It's talking and not talking. That's what we do on the show. Okay. One more break. Back with more podcast right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed.
There is a derangement syndrome. They are suffering from it. You know why? Because malignant narcissism is contagious, meaning everyone around the narcissist ends up not only being subservient to the narcissist, subservient to the idiot, subservient to the man with the crazy freaking hair doozy, and they won't even say, what is up with that hair? Do you know what I mean? They wouldn't even say, why does he keep on making himself brownish orange? Why is he so willing to lie about his physique? We can see it, you know. His ass sits beside him. It should be his vice presidential running mate. But he has doctors come forward and say he weighs 218 pounds and he's fit as a fiddle, and people repeat it because it's contagious, this disease. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhodes.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska plays more music.
This is a great fixin' noir, and her latest single called Something, giving this another spin, because it is excellent. Link in the description, as always, to download this new single from Vixen Noir. Yeah, download her entire music library. You won't regret it. It's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so as we come close to the end of today's show.
Yes.
Trump defamed E. Jean Carroll twice in the last few days.
Once on TV, yes.
You know, I was right about this. Donald Trump always makes things worse for Donald Trump, and I knew.
I thought these bigger judgments would scare him off. He's just a freaking idiot. He just keeps going.
He really is. I knew that he couldn't resist. He would have to do it, and he did it exactly as I called it. He'd make little teeny tiny, because he's got those little teeny tiny baby feet. You know that that witch in the Bugs Bunny cartoon?
Yes, I do. I know her well.
And she has those little tiny feet. Donald Trump's feet look like that. And why was I talking about Donald Trump? Oh, yes, he was moving his little teeny tiny feet closer to the defamation line. And yes. Then in the past few days, he has completely steamrolled the defamation line and careened all the way over it.
Y'all are right. He can't help himself. It's funny. I really thought, you know, see, and maybe this is still that he's a businessman mystique. This is your businessman right here.
Yeah.
He can't stop losing money.
That's
he
right.
can't help himself.
So at a Georgia rally, he said, I just posted $91 million bond, $91 million on a fake story, totally made up story, he said. $91 million based on false accusations made about me by a woman that I knew nothing about, didn't know, never heard of. I know nothing about her. This is exactly why he had to pay the $91 million bond. This is exactly what happened.
He wasn't even asked about this.
Yeah, I know.
He brought this up on his own.
Of course he did. And then...
And he called her, yeah, there's more. Yeah.
But wait, there's still more.
There is.
During an interview with CNBC, Donald claimed that he, quote, had no idea who she is when discussing Carol. He called her Miss Bergdorf Goodman, which I still have trouble saying that.
Bergdorf Goodman, yes.
Is it Bergdorf, did you say?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, but it says here Bergdorf Goodman. That's the department store where she was when Donald Trump raped her.
Right, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And then Robbie Kaplan, in response to all this, said the statute of limitations for defamation in most jurisdictions is between 1 and 3 years, she said in a statement yesterday. As we said after the last jury verdict, we continue to monitor every statement that Donald Trump makes about our client. This is absolutely, he is going to get hit with defamation charges once again because of this shit. Because George Conway pointed out that it may not be appropriate with the Georgia rally remarks to sue him based on that. But CNBC is based in Manhattan.
Right.
So you could open this up in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, the case would be assigned to Judge Lewis Kaplan as a case related to the early two cases that produced the 88 whatever
Where
million dollars.
He's already been found guilty of defamation and or liable for defamation, I guess, in a civil sense.
Mm-hmm.
The judge has shown no hesitation about increasing the penalty.
It's almost like Donald Trump wants to do this.
I don't know if you heard, he just picked up the RNC.
Yeah, that's true. But I feel like he thinks that he's covered, like daddy's going to pay for his crashed car, as you two once said, because he was able to pay his bond on this case, $91 million, through this company called Chubb.
How's that? What's the name of the company again?
The company is called Chubb. Right.
There you go. That's the name. They're copyrighted, by the way. In fact, every time you say that, you have to do that.
Whenever I say what?
Chubb.
There it is. Because see, we're obligated as DJs to play that sound whenever there's anything that even vaguely resembles a phallic reference.
Because we're in junior high school now.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So now when we say the name Chubb, that has to actually happen. And everyone's got, I'm sure everyone's sick of it already. But you know what? That makes me love it even more when we say Chubb.
You'll just have to play a high-pitched version of it.
Well, the bond document establishes a deal Trump made with Federal Insurance Company, a direct subsidiary of the international insurance behemoth.
International, you say?
What's the name of the behemoth?
Chubb Group.
With global headquarters in Switzerland, the company, one of the largest insurance firms in the world and worth about $100 billion, offers a wide variety of insurance and bonds. Quote, our surety division provides appeal bonds in the normal course of business. These bonds are an ordinary and important part of the American justice system, protecting the rights of both defendants and plaintiffs. Chubb said in a statement. Trump has a history with Chubb.
Sure does.
Of course he does. Which has provided him insurance policies in the past. Dealings that came under scrutiny in the civil case brought by Letitia James. James alleged that in 2010, Chubb sent an insurance appraiser to determine the worth of Trump's triplex penthouse apartment at Trump Tower, but the Trump rushed the expert out of the premises within 15 minutes before the assessor could take any measurements. The Chubb appraiser was not allowed to see the primary bedroom because he was told that Melania Trump was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Trump later falsely tripled the size of the 11,000 square foot apartment, using that false measure to drastically inflate his worth by overvaluing that property and others. So Chubb was actually the victim of Donald Trump's fraud. One of the victims. And yet they're insuring him again for this bond, which he will still have to pay. I mean, they're only putting this up for the purposes of, which is exactly how a bond works. They put up the money under the preconceived notion that once Donald Trump does satisfy this appeal and so forth, that they will get the money back, and that he will be then, when the appeals court obviously finds him or upholds the decision, then he will have to personally pay whatever it is, $91 million.
Or to simplify this, what do you think Chubb gets in return? Well, obviously, they get it. So Trump has a friend over at Chubb. I'm not gonna do this all the time, but you know. So he has a friend over there, and so the friend agrees. Well, yeah, we'll put up the money for this. Mm-hmm. So what does Chubb get in return? Or what does this guy get in return? Maybe a seat on the Securities and Exchange Commission? I don't know what kind of, but you know Trump is transactional. Yeah. So this guy, Trump got his money from this guy. What did this guy get in return?
Well,
Trump has put himself up for sale on a number of fronts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the reason why it was $91 million is because there are additional fees that are involved.
Yes.
I think,
correct.
I mean, doesn't Trump have to pay Chubb? $91.63 million
is, but then he has to put up like 80 some million of it as the bond. To cover the original amount.
Right.
But yeah, there'll still be interest and all of that accrued with this while he appeals. So, Chubb has taken a risk here, but they might get something in return. Mm-hmm. And just a reminder, that company, Chubb, also does business with Turkey, where there's a dictator. And with, wait for it, Russia. Yes, Chubb has ties to Russia and to Donald Trump. What a coincidence.
What a shocker.
This never happens. How did this happen? Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
well, that's where we are.
It's important to emphasize, too, that Chubb is not a charity. They make their money. They've made their $100 billion some way or another, and I think that's through fees paid to the sureties that they helped to insure.
I'm only familiar with the name because they used to be, maybe they still are, used to be contributors to public television and by the Chubb Group. You know, I used to hear that a lot.
Oh, right. Well, okay, yes. So that is that, and the saga continues. Right?
And Trump is very much for sale. He's now for TikTok after being against it. what kind of deal has been made there?
Yeah.
He's now for Bud Light after being against it, now that Anheuser-Busch is having a fundraiser for him.
Yeah.
So Trump has made it clear that his views are for sale, whether it's TikTok, Anheuser-Busch, or this.
Right, right. Well, lots more to still talk about here. Oh, I forgot to mention the big news from Friday.
Yes.
275,000 jobs added in February. The unemployment rate increased to 3.9%. This, of course, all of this exceeded expectations once again.
Under 4% for more than 2 years now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big fucking deal. That's, of course, reported by the BLS. Job gains occurred in healthcare and government, food services, drinking places, and in social drinking places and social assistance. What is, are they talking about bars? Is that what they're talking about? Drinking?
The word is bars, yes.
Food services and drinking places.
You know. Let's go out this weekend. Let's go out to a drinking place.
Drinking place. That's, there's a, isn't there a drinking place on every corner in certain parts of the country?
Brothers.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, still more to talk about. We're going to talk about the, another Republican sex crime. And this is in the context of Katie Britt and what she was talking about with regard to this migrant rape story she was talking about. Yeah, yeah. So we'll talk about that. Plus, more controversial things that I have said in the past few days. Yeah. And these things have nothing to do with pissing on Donald Trump's grave.
Don't embarrass me.
I know. But this is a couple of things that are completely inconsequential, but they're actually the most controversial things that I've said on social media in the past few days. And I'm not going to say where they are right now. You're going to have to listen to the Shadow Docket show. Yeah, sign up for $5 a month. Patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Go do it right now. And if you sign up at $1 a month, you can listen to the Friday After Party. Just this last Friday's episode. Not all the After Party. You got to sign up for $10 a month if you want to hear the After Party on a regular basis. $1 a month just to hear this past Friday's. Our recap, our reaction to the State of the Union. Go do that. Again, BobSeskaShow.com. That's the website address. All right. See you on the Shadow Docket. Bye-bye.